Welcome to the free version of Sunday night's main event. If you like what you hear, there's plenty more where this came from. Join us at patreon.com/snmeradio and get a commercial-free extended version of this show each and every week, plus numerous other weekly podcasts for only $1 a week. Sign up now at patreon.com/snmeradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
With WrestleMania in the rear view, WWE does its annual house cleaning. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event, Canada's premier wrestling radio program, coming at you across the iHeartRadio Talk Network and TSN Radio. Jason Agnew back here for another week, and coming up on tonight's show, I'll run down the week that was in and around the squared circle with the news of the week. And then we'll take a deeper dive and chat about the WWE talent purge and commentary changes with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. We'll also say hello to our new listeners on TSN 690 in Montreal with a little nod to the territory as we welcome on the foremost authority in Montreal wrestling, author and wrestling historian Pat LaProde. Plus, we'll have our weekly edition of Turnbuckle Trivia and our Patreon podcast bonus and NXT chat with our very own Bartender Dave. All of that is to come, so let's kick it off with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
A week after WrestleMania, and you know what that means. WWE house cleaning. Yeah, on Thursday we learned that WWE had future endeavored 10 of their talent. Here's the list. Samoa Joe, Billy Kay, Peyton Royce, Mickey James, Chelsea Green, Tucker, Kalisto, Mojo Rawley, Bo Dallas, and Wesley Blake. Naturally, some, mainly one of these names, Samoa Joe, is very surprising. But then again, I think there's considerations that need to be made for the health of Samoa Joe. Now, I realize nothing should surprise me when it comes to WWE, but considering we're in the midst of a pandemic and WWE is showcasing incredible profits, I was actually surprised when I heard this news. And, you know, it's a shame that WWE continues to surprise us with their behind-the-scenes decisions, yet the on-air product is never surprising, rarely engaging, and always repetitive. Continuing on with WWE, though, rumors started to circulate immediately following WrestleMania about a shakeup in the WWE announced teams. We already told you that Samoa Joe was released and was not a part of the two-night WrestleMania broadcast. Well, neither was Tom Phillips. And on Monday, we got our answers as WWE presented Adnan Virk as the new voice of Monday Night Raw. Yeah, a man who has never called a professional wrestling match in his life is the lead announcer on your flagship broadcast. Now, Virk does come from a sports background, working with The Score, TSN, MLSE here in Canada, before heading to the U.S. to work with ESPN and DAZN, as well as the MLB Network. Virk will be joined on Mondays by Byron Saxton, well, that's no help, and Corey Graves. I guess he has his moments. The shuffle continued on Friday night, where Michael Cole will now be joined by NXT standout Pat McAfee. Now, keeping with announcer news, looks like Impact and AEW continue to knock down forbidden doors. I think that's the recent slogan in wrestling, knocking down forbidden doors. It was announced this week that Mauro Ranallo will return to calling pro wrestling as the main event play-by-play announcer for the Kenny Omega versus Rich Swann at Impact Rebellion on Sunday, April the 25th. Here are a couple things to look forward to or avoid this week. First up, Randy Orton versus Braun Strowman. That match will be happening on Raw. Avoid. Asuka versus Charlotte, also happening on Raw. Doomed for interference. Dexter Lumis versus LA Knight on NXT. Yikes. And finally, Jungle Boy versus Darby Allin. Oh my. On AEW. Sign me up. And that does wrap up our news pack this week. Yeah, very, very quick because everybody is talking about the WWE releases and commentary shuffle. And that is what we're going to continue to do with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter in the next segment. Do keep in mind, we did a podcast immediately following these WWE releases with our friends at Slam Wrestling. If you want to check it out, it is on both our Patreon and public podcast feed. So find that at SundayNightsMainEvent.com, or by all means, go ahead and check out the Patreon where we do podcasts each and every day covering the world of pro wrestling. You can do that at Patreon.com/SNME Radio. All right, taking a break. Back with Meltzer right after this. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Supporting local is more important than ever. Grab your morning coffee from a local cafe. Purchase fresh bread from your local bakery. Visit your neighborhood mom and pop shop or visit their online store. Secure your lunch or dinner from a bar or restaurant on your block. Local business needs your love, your support. Prop up your neighbors, man. Shop local. Your purchases, that money, it stays within your community. Now crack a beer as a reward, because you deserve it, and so do they. Supporting local never tasted so good. A kind message from your friends at Great Lakes Brewery. GLB, brewed for you, Ontario.
It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Well, it was a very eventful week in wrestling news with all the releases. So let's take the deeper dive with Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter. And Dave, I know you've been talking about this since it happened, but I got to just throw one name at you right away. And that is, of course, Samoa Joe. Why?
Yeah, that was the big surprise. You know, I think that they were not going to clear him to wrestle. And they had decided to move on with him as an announcer. Now, that's the big why.
Yeah.
Especially with the replacements. You know, when I watch the replacements, it's like Joe was way better. Like, it's not even, to me, even debatable that out of the three. But I think that they just feel Pat McAfee is a celebrity, and they wanted to get him on the show. Mm-hmm. And Corey Graves is more their guy than Joe because they're very into cosmetics, and they think he's a good-looking guy. And Joe was the odd man out, even though he was the best of the three. And that's not the first time, and it won't be the last time, that the best of the three will be the odd man out when it comes to WWE announcing decisions.
Dave, is there anything to be said about Samoa Joe being on a performer contract versus an announcer contract and the money being spent for that role?
Could be. It may have been higher because he was a performer. But I don't think Pat McAfee's coming cheap.
True.
So I don't know if that's the case. I wouldn't think he's got a lot going on. He's a pretty high-profile guy. I don't sense him coming cheap. And perhaps with Graves, I don't know the finances between Samoa Joe and Corey Graves, but just know that Samoa Joe was the better of the two, and he ended up with the one getting the boot.
Now, if it is a health thing and being cleared to work, I mean, we've seen this same scenario play out so many times recently. Christian, Edge, Daniel Bryan. So Samoa Joe, I don't even remember. The reason for him being out, do we know what the injury was? Was it neck?
It was a concussion. He had two concussions in a short period of time, one while filming a television commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't fully recover. So they made him an announcer, and that was a long time ago, and he still had not been cleared. Now, when they made the announcement on Monday, you know, that he was out as an announcer, they said he was moving to talent, and then they fired him as talent. So it was really weird. I remember when he was injured at one point, and they put him in as an announcer, and I remember going, like, he's pretty good at this. And it was like, yeah, he's good. We all know he's good, but he's too valuable as talent to take this role, and then they took him off, and you know he came back, and then that's when he got hurt twice, and so then they put him back as an announcer. So if he can wrestle, and I don't know what the status is of him, but if he can wrestle, he's the big you know, he could be very, very valuable. He would be, you know, he could be great in New Japan. He could be great in AEW. He could be great pretty much anywhere. And, you know, that's a real surprising move. But, you know, WWE made two really surprising moves in the last week when it came to moves that they would have never made a year ago, and one was Samoa Joe and the other was, you know, the Chris Jericho on the Austin show, which, you know, look at the aftermath of that.
Yeah, okay, so Jericho on the Austin show, we can segue there. We'll come back to the releases. But AEW did a pretty good number this week after removing themselves from the same night as NXT, or NXT moving. And you basically had an hour, if not 2 hour long, commercial for AEW on the WWE Network. That's insane.
Yeah, it's in hindsight, it's one of those mistakes that that the old Vince would never make, if you want to call them. I mean, look, they got probably the except for a pay-per-view, they got probably what would be their highest-rated show on Peacock for the whole year, because Austin shows are always number one anyway, and with Jericho, you know, so much more talked about than Randy Orton or anybody else, so, you know, even more than Undertaker. And, you know, it was essentially, it was a two-hour commercial for one of AEW's biggest stars, and it was probably about, you know, 20, 30 minutes on AEW itself, all positive. So it was, it was great for AEW. And obviously, I don't know how much that meant as far as the rating. I think that it was some of it. There was a lot of different factors that came into that rating. But without a doubt, it was some of it.
Dave, have you heard any reason why? Because to me, this was, you know, the main event of the main event of WrestleMania. It was very cool to have this following, but it was posted early. I watched it the middle of the day on Sunday. Why would they allow that to happen?
They used to do with the Austin stuff. They usually put it up early. You know, so that's not a surprise. But it was, yeah, it was the thing right after WrestleMania.
Okay, so let's talk about these other names. I've listed them off on the show already. Do any really come as a surprise to you?
The rest of them, I would say maybe Peyton Royce was the only surprise, you know, because the rest of them really weren't being... I guess Billie Kay to a degree, because they just had her... She had just worked WrestleMania, and they had been putting her in this, you know, resume gimmick that she was kind of funny in.
I guess she really needs it now.
Yeah, I know, really. So that was a minor surprise, but not really. Peyton Royce, I mean, the reason I say Peyton Royce is it wasn't that many months ago where I remember the meeting, you know, right after the meeting, where it was Vince McMahon, and not an underling. It was Vince McMahon goes, Bianca Belair and Peyton Royce are going to be big single stars. Hmm. And, you know, Bianca Belair ended up being a big single star, and Peyton Royce got one of those three-week pushes, and then, you know, everybody forgot about it, and she's just kind of been there, and so that one surprised me. The rest of them, you know, they weren't being used.
Well, obviously, in-ring is a little bit different between Bianca Belair, who's excelled, and Peyton Royce, who has floundered. Peyton Royce, though, also, she is married to Sean Spears. Do you think there's any bad blood there from WWE with Spears being on the other side of things?
I don't think so, but it is... I mean, I certainly wrote that it was very noticeable that when you had couples, you know, I guess Ricochet, I mean, I'm not, Cedric would be the exception, although he's not getting a push now either, but he didn't get cut, thank God. But yeah, a lot of the couples were, the other half of the couple was working for another promotion, like Steve Cutler was one of them. You know, there's like three or four of them, mm-hmm. and they all, you know, they did get cut. But I like to think that that's more of a coincidence. I mean, with Peyton, she, you know, I think that there were people who felt she was unhappy, by not, because she wasn't getting really any kind of a push. And right now, you know, sometimes when people, when they have that mentality of, oh, if they're unhappy, just let them go.
So you look at this.
Andrade will be another one. soon, which would be interesting because, yeah, Charlotte Flair, but she ain't going to feel any repercussions for what he does.
That for sure will be the exception that proves the rule. You look at this lineup, though, immediately I'm getting messages, I'm sure you are, AEW, we've talked about this before. They have to be very careful in regards to who they pick up. Their roster is, I would consider it, too big right now.
Way too big for the TV time that they have, because the guys aren't getting as much, guys are getting half as much TV time as the top guys as they were a year ago because there's so many people on the roster. So, yes, if Samoa Joe is healthy or Andrade is healthy, absolutely AEW should get them. But, I would be very judicious. The idea of getting some of the other ones, I wouldn't rush to it, unless I wouldn't take, if I was AEW right now, unless it's somebody young, I wouldn't take anyone unless you've got an idea to make him a star right now, that there's something that you see in him or a role or something. I wouldn't bring him into just to, they're ex-WWE guys. They're going to help our ratings. Because they, none of them will. Joe could to a degree. Andrade could in the right program. But neither of them are someone who's going to be a big ratings mover in and of themselves.
There's also really no TV time available until perhaps this mysterious second show does come about on TBS, which Tony Khan said they are headed in that direction.
Yeah, but that's still, we're not that far away from it. I'm thinking September, October is
right.
What's going to come. So that's not that many months away. But still, you add another hour, you still have too many wrestlers.
Yeah.
If you really look at that roster and how much gets utilized and everything like that, they're trying to utilize everyone by putting them in factions to get as many people out there, but it's tough because a fan is only going to be able to focus on a certain number of people. If you have 150 people on your roster, you have 50 people on your roster, the fans are really at most going to be able to get into maybe 20 or 25 of them, so that just leaves a lot of people that are just there for no real purpose other than to fill time, which now, if you have the time that you need filling, yes. But when you don't, no.
Well, we do look at the U.S. opening up a little bit more, so the independent scene could be perking up. And along with that, there's places like Impact and ROH that these performers will find work. It's not like we had a year ago cutting at the beginning of the pandemic.
Right. It's completely different from a year ago when you were cutting people that weren't going to be able to get work. Now, everyone there, if they want to stay in wrestling and if they want to be a wrestler, every one of them will be able to get work, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's Independence, whether it's, Impact. Every one of them will be able to get solid, I wouldn't say full-time work today, but they're under contract until mid-July.
Mm-hmm.
And come mid-July, they will be able to get regular weekend indie work. And from there, you've got to prove, you got to prove yourself. You can't coast on your WWE name. If you do, you're not going to get anywhere, but that's just the nature of the beast. And you're not done, because we've seen person after person revitalize their careers that WWE had nothing for. So you can't do that. But if you, it's a very, very competitive business right now. And if you go in with the idea that I'm a WWE wrestler and I'm going to wrestle WWE style because that's the superior style, and then you go in the indies, you're not going to do well in most cases.
Do you see any more cuts coming?
I've heard rumors of it, but not on the main roster, no. I mean, everyone who I would have figured was going to get cut on the main roster did, so I don't know where you cut from here. The rest of the people are already being used. But as far as in developmental, I could certainly see, they've got too many people in developmental that they don't do anything with as well. And if they're in their 30s and they're not ready to, if they don't seem to have potential to be stars, I don't know what they're really doing in developmental at this point.
We're chatting with Dave Meltzer, editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Dave, along with the exit of the performers we just talked about, we had a major shakeup on commentary this week, and a gentleman who started his career in Canada, Adnan Virk, is the new face of Monday Night Raw, a guy who has not worked in the world of pro wrestling. This is absolutely baffling to me.
Yeah, it was Nick Khan hire. And we'll see. He started out on Raw, and he was clearly not ready. And at the very beginning of the show, he had basically told you that he was. So you can't get mad about it.
No.
And he's either going to he's either going to grow into the role or he's not. But it is very, you know, they used to spend, you know, with like Vic Joseph and Tom Phillips and these guys, you know, they would have them go over and call matches for years. I mean, literally years and years, full time calling matches, learning how to call matches, and then put them on television. And now you bring a guy with no experience and you have him the lead announcer on Raw. That is just the opposite of what they would do before. But he had the right connection, I guess. But that was a risky move, and we'll see if it pays off. I don't know. I don't want to judge somebody on. I don't want to judge him or Pat McAfee on one show because it's not fair to either of them.
I'm very thrown by this, though. I mean, you know, there are other opportunities. Even if you did want him to start calling things, you know, 205 Live is sitting right there. Start him with something that's
right.
It doesn't expose him. Yeah, low profile.
Yeah. But. I don't think they were going to get a guy like that for 205 Live money, and
right.
I think that for whatever reason, there was people who thought that he's got you know, potential to do this, and perhaps he does, and perhaps it's just a learning curve. Perhaps they're going to end up being right, but yeah, it's a surprise to take that they train guys and then they bring a guy in from the outside to do their flagship show. That is strange.
Now,
you know, it's not like it was. They did that with Mauro Ranallo, but Mauro Ranallo had done wrestling for decades.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
You know, I mean, even though he had never been in their system, he'd done it for decades, yeah.
With Mauro, they just tried to deprogram him, but that's very difficult when you're dealing with Mauro Ranallo, and he should not be deprogrammed.
They hired him and told him, we want you to be you, and then they didn't want him to be him.
Yeah, well, they do that over and over again.
Let's.
Well, and do you think that is the case with Pat McAfee as well? I mean, here's a completely different scenario, Dave. Yes, you got the bit of celebrity with McAfee. He's a guy who loves wrestling. He had one hell of a match last year with Adam Cole, and now you're sitting him behind an announce desk on SmackDown in a two-person capacity as well with Cole, as opposed to three, which is a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah. He can talk. The thing, I mean, there's a lot, you know, again, with him, I thought, look, it's his first show. I wasn't thrilled by him, but, you know, he may, in time, get smooth. He wasn't smooth, this was the thing. He does know wrestling pretty good. The thing with him, to me, watching him, and I couldn't get past him that it felt like he was playing wrestling announcer. Like,
yeah.
He grew up watching Jesse the Body or Bobby mm-hmm. Heenan or whatever, and this is what the guy in this chair does, is Jesse the Body or Bobby Heenan, rather than be Pat McAfee. That was what I thought, and a lot of guys who grow up as wrestling fans, that's what they do when they become an announcer. You know, I see it on indie announcers where they're trying to play Bobby Heenan, and it's just like, you know, be yourself. Don't be Bobby Heenan, because you can't be Bobby Heenan. I mean, you're just not, and he's not. He's not that funny. So in time, he may end up being effective because, again, he's got a passion for it, so he's not going to fake his way through it. So I think that in the long run, that's not the worst idea. But the thing is also is what made him a character on his podcast is, you know, I just have this feeling that in time they're going to want him to be that second guy, that Corey Graves, who does exactly the – you know what I mean, like what they train guys to do, and then you're going to lose why you hired him in the first place, like Mauro Ranallo in a lot of ways.
Yeah. This does bring up the question, as we talk about the musical chairs that is being played, what's the situation with Tom Phillips?
Man, he's still with the company, but that's about it. He's working, he's got a regular job there. He's going to be working out of Orlando at the Performance Center, I think.
Okay, I like Tom Phillips. I think that he's a fine replacement when Michael Cole calls it quits. It's just surprising. He's been moved around so much. And that's also
maybe,
something...
Maybe he'll do that, because I don't think Michael Cole's going to do it that much longer.
Yeah. Let's take a look at, this was the first week NXT and AEW on their own nights. AEW's ratings were good. Tyson was there. It's hard to say what Tyson did for ratings versus them being alone for their first night, but what do you make about this first week?
You know, it's like, I honestly throw it out,
mm-hmm.
because I don't know what to make of it. Next week, we'll have a lot more. I mean, we'll be able to figure it out, honestly, I think, by next week's number. If next week's number is like this number, then you know, I think some of it is a lot of people tuned in on Wednesday out of creatures of habit because they've been there on Wednesday night. They watch wrestling and there's no NXT, so they all watched AEW. That was part of it. Obviously, the Mike Tyson segment was the highest watched segment, but with the youth audience, it didn't do any better. In fact, you know, it did essentially the same as Robbie Lawler and I think Chris Statlander, I think, even did about the same. Hmm. And the Young Bucks did right underneath. You know, but the key to the big key to the story is that the audience stayed. If it was like the first quarter was really big and it's like, oh, I'm into, you know, watching wrestling on Wednesday, I'm going to check these guys out, and they didn't stick with the show, it's like, you know, like the first week of AEW, just an example, which did a monster number, the audience declined throughout the show, and it's like that's never a good sign when the audience declines big. And AEW's pattern and NXT's pattern both were you start off strong. Sometimes you may peak at around 9 o'clock, but by the end, even with your main event, you go down, especially with women. The women never stuck for 2 hours. They'll watch some of the show, but they're not going to watch the whole show. In this one, for AEW, I mean, the highest point with women was the Darby Allin match, which was the main event, which is so rare. It's usually 7th out of 8. So the people who watched stuck with it. That was an excellent sign. So that's the good thing. But next week we'll see more, you know, like it's you know. It wasn't just Tyson, because if it was just Tyson, even though the number dropped a little bit after Tyson left, they stayed with the rest of the show. So it is not just Mike Tyson. Is it the Chris Jericho turn? Is it Jericho on Austin? Well, you know, if it was the Jericho thing, the number would have dropped. If it was solely that, the number would have dropped as well. If it was from the Steve Austin thing, so many of those people would have been curiosity. Well, I'll watch it for, but they're not going to necessarily watch for 2 hours. So whatever it was, I mean, the key was is that they had a hell of a show that mm-hmm. kept the audience, and that and they had like probably whatever 400,000, 300,000 to 400,000 first timers. And they satisfied them at least for the 2 hours. And how many of them will come back? That's the big story. And that's what we'll know next week.
Dave, I know we're running long here. Just two more quick things. Number one, last night we had Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. Jake Paul taking him out in round one. What did you think of the event?
It was very unprofessional. It was, you know, the announcing was horrendous. But, you know, I think it did phenomenal numbers.
Yeah, that's what counts.
Yeah, and there'll be, you know, Jake Paul's a draw. Mm-hmm. I mean, him and Logan Paul have both been draws. That's been established, and it's not just a one-time thing. In the long run, this style of thing cannot sustain past the name of the top guy. I mean, as long as Jake Paul can draw, but this actual thing was such, you know, it was such a low-rent thing. Even though they spent a lot of money on the music end, but you know. Ben Askren was phenomenal in promoting the show. He was not in shape.
Right.
And, you know, he's not a boxer, and the result was, I don't know that I expected him to lose in the first round, but I did expect him to lose handily.
All right, Dave. Thanks very much. Observer, this week coming up, obviously coverage of the cuts and beyond.
The cuts and the beyond, and what to make of everything when it comes to this week's TV. You know, we're going to have the direction for all the upcoming pay-per-views and the build for Omega and Rich Swann, if AEW mentions it or not, which is a big thing that everyone's kind of curious about.
Yeah.
Are they even going to mention the match, which they really should? It's Kenny Omega going for a belt. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's part of their, you know, belt collector storyline.
Swann should be there, no?
Swann should be there,
yeah.
And they should have advertised Swann being there, yes.
Yep.
He absolutely should have been there, yeah.
All right, well, we look forward to that, and looking forward to chatting with you next week at the same time. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Find Dave at WrestlingObserver.com, of course, and he joins us every week here on Sunday Night's Main Event. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, get a little turnbuckle trivia in, and then round things out with Montreal's own Pat LaPrade. That is all to come right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
I'm like a swan, I only love, only love once.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matt Ederer.
Together, we're the Young Guns.
I would like to acknowledge the fact that we are in our 30s.
Anyways, as winners of the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon Podcast Contest, we now have a weekly show.
That show is called NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT.
The show drops every Thursday, and the only way you can listen is if you're a patron. So if you aren't, you can sign up at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And remember, we're the Young Guns.
And the show is NXT Talk.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. We have two players on the line in order to get on into this and play our first game of the post-Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament era. And for that, we have a first-timer on this show that is going to be playing against a veteran. So player one will be that veteran, and it will be Barry, who's on the line from South Carolina. Hey there, Barry. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. Barry's back into it. You're playing against a first-timer, so be gentle, Barry. Mike is on the line from Buffalo. Now, Mike, you've played this before, but way back on the live show on The Law, right?
Correct. About 4 years ago and maybe about 5 years ago. Yeah, I've called in twice in a year.
Okay.
I lost both times, but yes.
You lost both times. Barry, how's your record? You're playing against an 0-for-2 here.
I'm on like 2-7 or something like that. I'm not that much better.
Okay, guys. Well, listen, let's see what you paid attention to in the week of wrestling that we watched after WrestleMania, which is often very exciting. This year, I don't know if we can call it that. Barry, your player one. Mike, your player two. Let's get into it. Winner, of course, gets a t-shirt from ballergear.ca. Let's do it. Barry, first question is for you, and it is... Who performed America the Beautiful at night number one of WrestleMania?
Number one. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
No idea.
No idea. The correct answer, Bebe Rexha is the correct answer there. All right, Mike, I'm going to even it up there and give you this one. Who performed America the Beautiful on night two of WrestleMania?
Asked that. I forget her name. She was a country star.
Uh-huh.
I know she wore a cowboy hat. I'm just going to say, I don't remember her name, Christina Yates or something like that.
I mean, you might as well take a guess, but it was Ashland Kraft is the answer there. The
correct.
New face of country, so they told us, but just not memorable enough to get a correct answer with. Barry,
right.
Here's another new face that we're going to talk about with you. What is the name of the new lead announcer on Monday Night Raw?
Adnan Virk.
Adnan Virk is a correct answer. Very good. Mike, I'll take it to you. What is the name of the relatively new Irish Raw backstage announcer?
Shoot. It's like, I forget his exact name. I know Patrick. His last name is Patrick.
You went with Patrick as the last name, and I'm going to give that to you. Kevin Patrick is the correct
Kevin
answer
Patrick.
There. Jeopardy rules says if you get the last name, I'm giving it to you. All right Barry.
Thanks.
Here we go with your third question. Which Viking Raider made his return from injury?
Eric?
It was the opposite. It was Ivar that made his return. 50-50 shot. Mike, to you for this. What is the name of the new puppet Alexa introduced on Raw?
Oh, no. The segments I don't watch are like Bray and that.
I don't blame you.
I'm gonna say I forget, or I've seen it written. Obviously, I heard. I'm just gonna say Lisa.
Oh boy, you're two.
Something like that.
You got two letters wrong. It was Lily. You got the
Lily,
L and the
right.
I right. All right. Well, it is 1-1 right now, and we go back to you, Barry. What does Chris Jericho consistently refer to the Pinnacle as?
I don't know. I don't watch AEW. No idea.
No. Correct answer is the pineapple. He continually calls them the pineapple. Well, Mike, that opens up the door for you. And if you watch AEW, maybe you'll know this. Listen closely. Who played a real-life version of Mike Tyson's punch-out on Dynamite and lost, as in who got punched out by Mike Tyson?
It was Cash Wheeler.
Cash Wheeler is the correct answer for another point. All right, that means we're at 2-1 right now. Barry, you must get this in order to stay in the game. What is the new name of Taya Valkyrie?
Oh, no. Oh, she has the dog. Oh, no, I'm out. I don't know.
Oh, no. Well, it's not that catchy, and I don't care for it, but apparently she chose it. It is Frankie Monet. And with that, Mike, your losing streak has come to an end. Congratulations. Yes. You got yourself a T-shirt, Mike. Well done in your debut on the Sunday night's main event Turnbuckle Trivia.
Thank you, Jason. Good job, Barry. Good luck.
You too, man.
All right, we got a first-time player and a first-time winner, and that's what we're doing now on Turnbuckle Trivia. We're through the tournament, and we're back to players that are just going from week to week, new players each and every week. Hey, if you want to play, this is a Patreon feature for you. So if you're a Patreon and you're at that level, check your inbox. I sent out the invitation for Turnbuckle Trivia last week. So check it. It's there. Reply to me and I will get you on into the schedule. I'm scheduling all summer long right now. And that's just not a Kid Rock song. I'm scheduling. So do that and we will continue on playing each and every week. And you never know what the topic is going to be. We're going to take a break. We'll come on back. Pat LaProd joins me next to chat a little bit about Montreal, our new territory in the world of professional wrestling, but a focus on WrestleMania. And did Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn get what they deserved at Mania? Or should they have been given more time? What did Pat LaProd think? We'll talk about that next when we return. It's Sunday night's main event right here on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
And we were trying different things. And we were smoking funny things.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Dan the Mouth of Ransky.
And I'm Joe Aguinaldo.
And we are the old folks, two burnout wrestling fans that have been watching it since the 70s.
But now, All Elite Wrestling is here to make everything old new again.
So what better idea for a podcast to have it covered by two old crusty farts?
It's called All Elite Weekly, and you can listen to it by becoming a patron of Sunday Night's Main Event at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And you can bet we'll cover the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we're the old folks. Tough guy!
Logan! Damn it. Logan, you're my guest of honor! What the hell are you doing? He's the enemy!
Logan Paul is in on it.
What a turncoat!
The bad guy, John. The bad, bad guy.
He backs the winner.
Modern day Benedict Donner.
Oh! Stunner! Down goes Logan Paul!
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Very happy to be welcoming this gentleman on the show once again. A friend of the show, an author of course, The Eighth Wonder of the World, The True Story of Andre the Giant. And along with that, previous to that book, he wrote Mad Dogs, Midgets, and Screwjobs, The Untold Story of How Montreal Shaped the World of Wrestling. Appropriately enough, on our first show in Montreal on TSN 690, Pat LaProd, welcome back to Sunday night's main event.
Well, thanks for having me on your first show in Montreal. It's an honor. It means a lot.
Well, listen, there's no one that I would rather talk to about Montreal wrestling than yourself. You are the foremost authority, and I don't even think that's disputed after writing the book now. But and we're going to get to some Montreal stuff, Pat. But first of all, you know, we're a week removed from WrestleMania. What did you think of how WWE presented WrestleMania pretty much as a full week this year?
Oh, that was insane. There was a show every day for 9 days.
Yeah.
That's crazy, you know? So you know, I wrote about WWE and WrestleMania week for like a full week. Every day I had an article on TV Sports website. And I mean, it was as busy as if I was covering it there, you know, if I was, you know, because we both, I mean, you've been to a few WrestleManias. I've been to a few WrestleManias as well. And, you know, it's always a busy week, you know, you're trying to see the most wrestling as you can. And, you know, it's always a fun week, but I found out that I was as busy just covering every show from my home than if I was there, you know. So I like the idea. You know, it was more of a TV presentation this year because of the pandemic and everything. And I thought that, you know, WWE did the right thing by having a show per day. So, you know, you could pick and choose the ones you wanted to watch, or you could watch them all, you know. So it was different, but different doesn't mean bad. And I like the concept.
The big debate, of course, is the one or two night WrestleMania. I mean, I find the two nights much easier to watch, but I do think that they're going back to one night next year. And I find that that's really hard for the performers, especially when you're main eventing after the fans have already sat through 7 hours of a show.
Yeah, and we saw that the last time it happened with Ronda, Becky, and Charlotte Flair. You know, the crowd was so tired by the time they got in the ring, like 7 hours after the start of the show. I do like the idea of two nights. You're right. It's much easier to watch from home. The only thing is that when I'm live at the stadium, I never find it that much difficult to watch, even if it's 6 or 7 hours, because there's always stuff to do when you're at the stadium. You know, you're going to chat with someone else, going to go get a hot dog, you're going to wait for 20, 25 minutes. So,
but you missed the event. I honestly, Pat, I know what you're saying. When I go to events, because we know so many people from all the years of covering this, I end up bumping into people, and sometimes I got to go home and rewatch the event because I spend my time socializing.
But that's going to happen even if it's a 3-hour show, you know, as soon as you're there live, you're going to miss some of the action, because at one point you cannot just, you know, press pause and go to the bathroom, you know, and you won't wait 20 minutes for the bathroom if you're watching it from home. So it's a different feeling. It's a different vibe. I do like both, but I, of course, you know, I would appreciate to have a shorter live version of WrestleMania next year. You know, 7 hours is way too long. Can I live with 4, 4.5? Definitely.
Sure.
But at the same time, 2 times 3 hours and 3 hours 15 minutes from home on TV, it's a better way to watch it. But I mean, you don't present Super Bowl on two nights. Super Bowl is one night, so I don't mind the idea of going back to one night. But is there a middle ground to find here? I think so.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. You don't present the Super Bowl on two nights. All right, I get what you're saying. Okay, so we're gonna talk about Sammy and Kevin and their match, because you're someone who has followed them from the infancy of their career. But for now, let's remove them from the equation. What were the WrestleMania highlights for you reporting on it?
Definitely a main event of the first night with Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks. Bad Bunny's performance, that was amazing, and props to Miz and John Morrison. But I mean, he was there. He trained. Bad Bunny trained for that match, and it showed. He took that seriously, and it showed as well. And I mean, you know, I was really impressed with his performance. The main event of the second night, Roman, Edge, and Daniel Bryan, who I thought was the best match, you know, from the two WrestleManias, and also the statement that they did for the women's division. So after that week, if we include the two NXT takeovers, we have three gals who are now, to me, the future / the present of the women's division.
Right.
Raquel Gonzalez, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. And I think that's a very, very good thing, because I was kind of getting tired of having only good matches between the same people. You know, it was always the Four Horsewomen and Asuka, or even, you know, a few years ago, it was Ronda was added to the mix and she did fine. But it was always the same people working together. And every time they were working with other people, it wasn't going as well. Carmella was maybe an exception over the fall, but you know, at the same time, she is not at the level of Bianca Belair or Rhea Ripley or even Raquel Gonzalez. So I see this as a big statement of what the women's division could look like in a year, a year and a half, and also what it is right now. You know, with Rhea and Bianca. And finally, there is more than just four or five women that always work together. Now we have options with both of the new champions and another new champion on NXT. So that was a big statement for someone who's following the women's scene a lot and was, you know, even a women wrestling promotion here in Canada. So that was a big statement for me.
Yeah, it's nice. The evolution, fresh blood, fresh faces, and fresh matches, which we do talk about a lot. And I think that's great for the women's division to actually be evolving. For the main event of night two, Roman Reigns comes out victorious. He pins both Daniel Bryan and Edge. And Pat, one of the things that really surprised me is we didn't see Daniel Bryan or Edge on SmackDown this week. Did that throw you?
Not the way it ended. It ended with a Roman. There was another statement to be done there, and the statement was Roman Reigns not only won the match, but you know he defeated both at the same time. You know he just cleaned house and. And that was what they wanted as the story. They want to show Roman Reigns as someone who is very strong in his position as Universal Champion. And I'm fine with that. But prior to the match, I thought there were reasons for the three of them to win the match.
Yeah, nice.
So I have really no trouble with, you know, with Roman winning the way he did. And you know, both Bryan and Edge can come back a little later, and I don't mind that because I prefer that than what we saw on Raw with already a rematch being announced between Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley. You know, so I find it different, and I like it better.
All right, let's get into it. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens have their match at WrestleMania. These are two guys that you've traveled up and down the road with. You've seen this match probably hundreds of times. In your opinion, what do you not only think of the match, but the way that it was put together? Because I kind of thought very quick and it deserved more of a storyline leading into it.
Yeah, but that was the problem with a lot of matches going to WrestleMania. So the only difference with them is that because of their history together, they didn't need they could swing it with only a few weeks of building because the story is already there. You know, it's not a new feud, it's not a new rivalry, it's something that is already there. So perhaps you need less time to figure it out but yes, you know, in a perfect world, it should have been a big program of 4, 5, 6 weeks prior to WrestleMania. But at the end of the day, that's not what we got. The other thing is, I would have liked 5 more minutes of that match. You know, but. It was the last match before all the championship matches. There were 4 championship matches after that one. And the segment itself, the match was 9:16. The segment with the, if we calculate from the time the team, Sami Zayn's theme song, hit and by the time, you know, the Logan Paul segment was finished, it was between 17 and 18 minutes, which is not too bad when you think about it. You know, they were there for close to 20 minutes.
Did
and
you
it, and it, Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because you brought up Logan Paul, and that just kind of sparked with me. Do you think that helped or hindered? Obviously, that puts a few more eyes on Sammy and Kevin, but to me, that was kind of shoehorned into what they were doing as well.
It does help. It does help because of who Logan Paul is, because of what kind of publicity you can get from him being at WrestleMania. There were places they were talking about WrestleMania and that match in particular because Logan Paul was involved in it. The same thing with Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
You know, I was listening to a radio station in Montreal a few weeks before Mania, and a Bad Bunny song was playing, and the host just did a 30-second bit on WrestleMania. You would have never done that if Bad Bunny wasn't on the show. So the same goes with Logan Paul, who is followed by a much younger crowd who perhaps don't know who Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is. And, you know, if there's just a few of them who actually know who they are now because of the implication of Logan Paul, well, that's a good thing. It put more eyes on the match. It put them into a better position as far as, you know, what kind of matches we're going to talk before and after WrestleMania. The clip was seen more than a million times. The clip of Kevin Owens, you know, doing a stunner on Logan Paul was seen more than a million times on YouTube. So it's all demographic that you need to take into consideration. And at the end of the day, like I said, well, the whole thing was there for 17 to 18 minutes, which is, you know, not too bad when you compare that to Apollo Crews and Big E, who had a 6-minute match and not much of an aftermatch. Wow. So you know, I would have liked 5 more minutes because these guys did a perfect match with the time they had, and 5 more minutes would have been even better. But we got what we got, and you know, at least they really did the most they could with the time they were given.
Pat LaPrade, a real numbers guy today. All right, Pat. He is the author of The Eighth Wonder of the World, The True Story of Andre the Giant. But along with that, the reason why I wanted to have Pat on today, the author of Mad Dogs, Midgets, and Screwjobs, The Untold Story of How Montreal Shaped the World of Wrestling. So we're making our debut tonight, Pat, on TSN 690 in Montreal. What makes Montreal such an important city in the world of wrestling? And please don't say the Montreal screw job with Bret Hart. Give me something else, because I can't tell you how many people have commented about that this week.
Well, for many different reasons. The territory was really a hotbed for wrestling at different times. From the late 1930s up until the mid-1950s, the combination of the promoter Eddie Quinn and the big local star Yvonne Robert was only probably comparable to the relation that Hogan and McMahon had with WWF. I mean, they were working. I mean, I remember doing the calculation along with Dave Meltzer, and we kind of realized that probably Montreal was the town where wrestling drew the biggest numbers on a weekly basis for the longest time. There were shows at the Montreal Forum every single Wednesday, and they were like big crowds going there most of the time. Not always, you know, of course. But I mean, it wasn't rare to see more than 10,000 people on several occasions during a year. And that happened for like 15, a little bit more than 15 years. That's incredible when you think about it. The Montreal Forum was so important. I mean, we always talk about the Madison Square Garden, but the Montreal Forum was really, really important in the history of pro wrestling. There are so many great wrestlers who came from the Montreal territory that even Americans or English Canadians don't know about, because they don't even know these guys were from Quebec. You know, Hans Schmidt, who was one of the early stars of TV when it was on the Dumont network at the end of the 40s. It was playing a German. And at the time where the German were, you know, really hated because, you know, it was just a few years after the
yeah.
World War II. So Henschmidt was a guy named Guy LaRose from Joliet, Quebec, you know?
I did not know that.
Ronnie Garvin, who was NWA world champion for a few months, was a guy from Montreal who didn't know one word of English when he decided to move to the U.S. to make a career out of wrestling. And the same goes with Pat Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Pat Patterson was Vince McMahon's right-hand man for like how many years, you know? He was celebrated when he passed away, rightfully so, because he was such a genius in pro wrestling, and he created the Royal Rumble, which is still to this day the second biggest pay-per-view that WWE is presenting. So, I mean, and not only the 40s and the 50s, but when there was that big wrestling war in the 70s between All-Star Wrestling of the Rougeau family, mm-hmm, and Grand Prix Wrestling of the Vachon brothers and Edouard Carpentier, I mean, it's probably the 3 years where wrestling was the most popular in Montreal. Both groups held shows at the big Jarry Park Stadium, where the Montreal Expos had started playing before the Olympic Stadium. And the All-Star Wrestling drew more than 26,000 people in 72, in the summer of 72. And the year after, the Grand Prix Wrestling did more than 29,000 people. To this day, these two crowds are the biggest attendance for pro wrestling ever in the history of Quebec. I mean, and then you had international wrestling. Let's not forget about the 80s, where you had Dino Bravo, who was like a god in Montreal. And people who only knew Dino and WWF don't understand what I'm saying right now and think I'm crazy. But let me tell you, Dino Bravo knew how to cut a promo in Montreal. He knew how to get that fire, how to get people behind him. He had so much charisma. He was my favorite wrestler growing up, you know, before I even knew who Hulk Hogan was. And there were the Rougeau brothers, and there were Ricky Martel. So I mean, the territory drew big crowds at the Montreal Forum, not every week like it was in the 40s and 50s, but at least once every 2 months, once every month, there were big crowds at the Montreal Forum too, and big television ratings as well. You know, back in the 70s, All-Star Wrestling and Grand Prix Wrestling both had a million people watching their shows on Saturday afternoon and Sunday mornings. That's incredible when you think of it. Then there were many stars, like a guy like Andre the Giant. People, I mean, if you have read my book, you know, but Andre the Giant was a big star here in Montreal, even mm-hmm. though he was from France. But Montreal, Verdun Auditorium, just outside of Montreal, but on the island, was the first place that Andre wrestled in North America. We're going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of that on June 1st, actually. So, I mean, Andre was a big name here, to the point that when he defeated Hogan in February 1988 at Main Event on a Friday night, it was the first time that it was mainstream on NBC. You know, it was at 8 p.m.
Yeah.
But it was also live in Montreal on Channel 10. And there were like something like more than 800,000 people watching it, more than the Montreal Canadiens that very same week.
That's insane.
That's insane. So to me, pro wrestling was probably this, if we call it sports, just for the sake of the argument, pro wrestling was the second most popular sports in the history of the province behind hockey, more popular than baseball. I mean, some people won't like that statement, but, you know, I will stand by it and I will show proofs of that any day of the week. So, and historically speaking, because of all this, Montreal was a hotbed that all the big stars, like the Lutes, the Bruno Sammartino, everyone who was a big star in pro wrestling knew that Montreal was a hell of a territory and was so popular and it was so crazy to come here and wrestle. The only thing is that because of the language barrier, most of the accomplishment that happened here in Quebec didn't translate as much into English Canada or the United States. Hence, the reason why me and Bertrand Hébert wanted to write a book about the Montreal wrestling territory, because we knew that there were a lot of stuff that, you know, wasn't known outside of our territory.
Well, listen, we're on the radio and we can't tell all of those stories, but people can read about it. And I know the book has been out for a while, but where is the best place for people to get either the book about Montreal or the Andre the Giant book for that matter? Where should they turn to, Pat?
Well, Amazon, stays the best place.
There you go.
The best place to buy them. If you're in Montreal, you can find the Eight Wonder of the World or its French version, if you speak French, in any bookstores. And for Matt Does Magic and Screwjobs, Amazon is the best place. And I also have another book with Bertrand Hébert, the biography of Maurice Mad Dog Vachon, who was one of the all-time greats. That is also that you can also find on Amazon.
There you go. Send some money to Pat LaPrade along with that Jeff Bezos. We'll get his chunk as well, as he always does. Pat, pleasure chatting with you. Always nice to catch up. And let's look forward to doing this again sometime soon.
All right, thanks for having me again.
All right. And with saying goodbye to Pat, we have to say goodbye to you as well out there, loyal listener. If you're catching us on TSN 690, we are here each and every week starting at 9 p.m. Become a part of your Sunday night routine. And everywhere else we are on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio Network, yep, we'll be back next week as well. If you want more wrestling chatter, if you're listening on the podcast version right now on Patreon, we got a whole segment coming up with Bartender Dave. So if you want that segment, please join us, patreon.com/SNMEradio. And when you do that, you get podcasts each and every day chatting about the world of pro wrestling. So become a patron, patreon.com/SNMEradio. We are saying goodbye for this week, but we'll be back for the next one. You've been listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. Talk to you next week. Don't you dare miss it. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Remember, you can get an extended version of this show commercial free each and every week by becoming a patron of the show at patreon.com/SNMEradio. Plus, we also dish out numerous other weekly podcasts, including Raw and AEW Dynamite reviews, all patron exclusive, and all can be in your inbox for just $1 a week. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.